that they all started violence and they all started to kill each other. And I'm not 100% sure, but it seems in what Bhurijan Prabhu wrote that actually Krishna and Balaram had joined the fight. They were also there. But let's see, I'm not 100% sure. I went a little bit fast through that. Maybe Manimanjari tomorrow you can give more light on that if you see anything on that. So on that verse I thought, what should I speak? What should I elaborate on that? And I thought to speak a little bit about being intoxicated. But how is that relevant for us? I mean, we drink Varuni only once a year and usually we don't become so much intoxicated. What is another type of intoxication? Yeah?
I would say this bodily concept of life, identifying with body and mind.
Is that intoxication? Yeah? Some type?
Yeah, some type.
What do you think, Manimanjari? Our drug. This is our what we are looking for. Our addiction. I was thinking of being intoxicated by proud, by pride, and very often in the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he mentioned pride with this type of intoxication feeling. And I was remembering what I already said a few times, but in the Govardhan Puja, the Govardhan Lila, when Indra came to ask forgiveness, Krishna asked him, but why did you do such a thing? You are my devotee. How could you try to kill everyone, literally kill? How could you do that? And Indra said, I became so angry. Therefore, I did it. And Krishna said, but you are a demigod. You are intelligent. How could you not control this anger with your intelligence? And then Indra said, because I was proud, my intelligence was gone. And then I lost all control over this anger. So it's interesting to see how things are interconnected with anger, and anger we lose intelligence, and with this pride that is there actually also that takes this intelligence away. And we can see very often when things do not go the way we want. We are thinking we are great, we are good persons, we are devotees, and we often feel things should come the way we think we deserve things to come in a certain way. And when it doesn't come the way we want, immediately some anger is coming. And this is coming because this pride of being someone special. And yesterday we had this example of one devotee who was waiting for something, and the devotee had done all arrangement for that something, but just because it did not come, it should come for me. I am who I am. And then the anger comes, and then there is no control. The intelligence is lost. And I think it's very, very relevant, and very often this type of things happened. I remember, maybe I have told already, this amazing things that happened to me at the end of one Kartik Vrata when I was in Govardhan Hill. I did not shave for one full month. I was doing deep vratas for the full month. I had long hairs and looked like a yogi. And then after Kartik, I went to shave in Govardhan town. And I enter and I ask the barber how much it cost for the full shaving. And he said, 30 rupees. I say, yeah, usually it's 20, but okay, that's long enough. I can give 10 extra rupees. So the man shaved me, and the guy who gave me the price left. He seems to not actually be from the place. And then at the end, the barber said, 100 rupees. I said, come on, I give you 30, it's already much more. And the man was stopping me the way that I could not go out. And I just became so angry at him and just started to shout, "Who you think you are? 100 rupees and I just shouted. And then I went out of the shop and I felt like I had lost all my katikvrata. All my endeavor, all my chanting was totally gone. I was just like so angry and so disturbed inside of me. And obviously it turned really in my mind, what happened? What was this? And then I understood why I became so angry, because I felt I was not respected as I deserved. I felt they are thinking I am just ordinary tourist, but I am a Baba, I am a Sadaka, I am a servant of Krishna, I am a devotee. I was so proud of this identification of being someone important, and they did not give me the respect I expected. And then the anger came. So it's very, very much connected to this pride of being actually someone important. This desire to be respected. This is the proud. This desire we think we are someone important. Yesterday evening, just before going to bed, I had last hope to find something nice to say for this lecture. And actually I found an article from Mahatma from America. He's a very, very good preacher and give very, very nice seminars. And he has a newsletter, and somehow I just got a newsletter about pride. And he was giving the example of Prabhupada speaking about dogs. And he was saying even dogs are proud. And they are just barking and barking to each other. "This is my property. This is my territory." and he was mentioning that actually very often we are like those dogs. We are this proud. We are barking toward each other with those harsh words. And he said, why are we proud? What are we proud of? And in this example, he was mentioning that even the dogs are proud of their own body. Although the body of a dog is nothing special to be proud of, but for their perspective, they are fully into that. And very often also we are proud of our body. We think we are so beautiful, or we are so intelligent, or things like this. But then, wow, Mahatma brings such an amazing point. He said, why did we get such a body? What is the cause of us having this material body? This material body actually means that we have turned away from Krishna. We have received this material body because we have turned away from Krishna. If we will not turn away from Krishna, we will be in a spiritual body. And he explained, Krishna did not want us to turn away. He was sorry to see, but he could not forbid us. So this material body for which we are often proud, it's actually a sign that we have turned away from Krishna. So he said, how ashamed we should be about this material body instead of being proud of. He said, it's like a prisoner who is proud of his uniform, his prison uniform. It's the same. Amazing. Then he mentioned a speech from Jesus Christ saying that actually the kingdom of God is there for the humble and meek. It's open for those who are humble and meek. And this means that the kingdom of Maya is open for the proud and arrogant. So this pride into our heart has an effect to separate ourselves with Krishna. Mahatma Prabhu was giving the example, just imagine you can enter into Vaikuntha in the state you are now. There is a back door. You can enter Vaikuntha. How will you be? How will you behave in Vaikuntha? What will be your thoughts? You might look in the mirror and say, I'm actually so beautiful. Or you might think, wow, how clever I was. See, I could enter Vaikuntha without the proper qualification. And even worse, you might see, look at this Krishna. He's just enjoying with all those women. Why not me? So the example is that with this type of arrogance or pride or this desire to be in the center and not Krishna, this is not going to work in the spiritual world. This pride is actually separating us from Krishna, not allowing us to come close. And then Mahatma Prabhu spoke really in more subtle way of doing service for Krishna with the desire to get recognition, to get attention from others, to be loved by others. And then he said it's almost like while the deities are taking their meal, you go and steal the food which is on the plate while they are eating. That's the same way of doing by trying to get attention by others while doing devotional service. So we can be proud of our body, but most of the time we will be proud of our abilities. Like, I have good ability to play harmonium. So this morning I thought, okay, I play harmonium during the Guru Puja. And then everything was gone. My ability to play was just too high, too low. I was singing, I was missing the lines. It was just like all my abilities were like totally gone. And very often we think those abilities belong to us. This is actually, we are good. We are able to repair these things or repair that thing. But actually those abilities, they are actually all coming from Krishna. They are all given by Krishna. And Krishna can remove them at any moment. And then we understand. And then we become humble. And then we understand actually everything is coming from Krishna. We become humble. Sometimes people are afraid to become humble because they think if I'm humble, maybe nobody will love me or will appreciate me. So therefore, very often, this play, making a show of ourselves to be good, is to receive this type of love and appreciation by others. But actually, when we are truly humble, at that time, people really love us. When people are humble, we just love those people. I don't know about you, but I know few devotees who are so humble that when I'm with them, I just feel so happy. And they don't have to make any show. They don't have to prove themselves to be better than what they are. They are just so humble that immediately we love them. And sometimes people say, yeah, but if you are humble, everyone will step on you and will profit about you. And if we see Srila Prabhupada, he was just so humble. But he, at the same time, he was like a lion. And nobody could ever step on him. So this is not actually a good excuse. This is something we should learn. I mean, we know that the main results of our practice will come through the chanting of the holy name. This is the main anga that is going to make us progress in devotional life. And Mahaprabhu said, only in a humble state of mind one should chant the holy name so that the effect work. It's sometimes also people say, yeah, we just need to become Krishna conscious and then we will automatically get all the qualities that are required. But actually we need to work on both. In one sense, we just by doing devotional service, that's true, good qualities will develop in us. But if we don't take care also to cultivate those good qualities and to observe ourselves, to have some introspection of how we deal, how we behave, then only actually we can really make progress. So both are necessary. This practicing of Krishna consciousness, focusing on pleasing Krishna, and at the same time to be careful to uproot those bad egoistic tendencies. Wow, I went very fast through my note today. I'm almost, actually I'm done with all I was thinking to say. Anyone has a question or comment?
actually that this is something very deeply rooted, because in one lecture I have heard that this pratishtha, this desire for recognition, for faith, this remains until like very high states, very high platform of devotional service.
So it gives us hope. It's all right to yeah, in our stage,
you
that
know,
we
how to deal with it, that, you know, how much can we control this?
One thing that comes to my mind is by taking shelter, because basically this pride is there to block us to take shelter. This pride is there, when this pride is in our heart, we just feel we can do on our own. We actually don't need Krishna. We can control and do everything on our own. So when we take shelter, this means the pride must be gone. Otherwise we just cannot take shelter. To take shelter, we need to enter into this humble humility and understanding that we cannot do it on our own. And just like also what was her name? Mataji was here for the Vaishnavi retreat. Devaki Mataji was also saying, why we cannot cry when we chant japa? Because we are proud. Because we don't think we need Krishna. We think we are controlling, we are doing our life and everything is going well. So I think if we learn more this art of taking shelter, and also we often hear that humility means vision of reality, that time to time we learn to observe ourselves and to appreciate our lack of qualification, to appreciate actually the fact that we are not able to do so good, so that it becomes actually an help, so that we can turn toward Krishna to take shelter in humility. And how do we practice humility in our movement in Vaishnavism? What is the main practice which is really, really connected to humility? Offering dandavat, offering humble obeisances, bowing down. This is something to train our humility, provided we also do with our mind. It's not only with our body, but also with our mind. This is actually what can help us very much to grow in humility, by offering heartfelt obeisances. When I did once or twice Shyamakund, Radhakund, Dandavat Parikram, and you really become humble. When you do many obeisances, you really get into the mood of humility. I feel almost ashamed to speak about humility, because I feel I like so much of that and I'm speaking about that. But Mani Manjari.
I was thinking earlier, actually, those who are really humble, it means they completely surrender to the law, because they know it's really kind of wrong. The point is that whenever we are not even angry, when we are frustrated, it's because of something. Usually we are frustrated because things are not as we would like them to be. But the point is that things are just as they should be, because there is someone who is in control of everything. And if we can understand and accept this point, that everything what is going on, what is just as it should be, it's perfect, whatever it is. Because this is just perfect for everyone to learn, for everyone to get, and then we will not try to be frustrated and trying to change and do it our way.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are trying, everyone tries to do it my way, you know. But it's not the point. And if you do your way, and your way is according to Krishna's way, then you will be happy. And if you do your way which is not according to Krishna's way, you will be frustrated. And that means when frustrated or not happy or not joyful or whatever, when we are not in Ananda, that means we are somehow or other doing something or expecting something which is not in accordance with Krishna's desire. That means we want to control, we want to enjoy, because we are not satisfied how it is, how Krishna enjoys and wants it to be, and accept this thing. So we should accept whatever happens in this world as controlled by Krishna and somehow adjust. We try our best according to our abilities and knowledge, which are not big, which are small, which are much more insignificant. And we should somehow accept whatever is going on. And the point is that we even do and plan something, not that we will be now inactive and not weak and not, you know. But whenever something is going not according to we expect, oh, Krishna wants something else. Oh, Krishna, thank you. Oh, you show me the. Oh. And joyfully accept whatever is coming. That means to endeavor without expecting the result. Because the results are up to Krishna, that's the point. And we can endeavor and plan and do, but we should never be frustrated and we should never be, angry. Or if it's not going as we like. Otherwise, Krishna will teach us the lesson. Not going to come to you. And he is sometimes so funny. Yesterday, it was like, Krishna is sometimes so humorous, he's really funny. First, she was in the shoulder because of this car. And I said, but there is another car. I cannot drive this car because I'm too low down. I couldn't see the. I said, I will drive, no problem. And then they said, okay, like, maybe there is no car. You will look. And then I will drive. So this is just nice for the senior ladies. It's slowly you go, you cannot go too fast, so fast. And then we arrived there, and when we were going out, and I said, oh, no need to lock this car, no one will steal this old car. And then we went for shopping, and it's empty, nothing is inside. And then we went for shopping, and we threw four wheels of stuff, you know. We come out with all these two wheels full, and then look, there's no car. And she said, where is the car? I said, it was here. And we looked inside and left and right. We didn't find a nice time. And I said, this is because. I said, no one will steal this car. It's not good enough for anyone, you know, it's so bad, this car. But this was Krishna's car. And now Krishna wants to show us, see, this car is working very well because it's serving you and it is my car. And I said, oh, should we do that? And then she said, let me look again. And then, you know, we were looking the same place, the car was not there. Krishna somehow hide it. She said, oh, it's here. So when we came to the point, this is Krishna car, we should appreciate. He gave us this car, this is a good car, it's serving him, you know. And we should actually keep it close and everything. Yeah, I mean, we were laughing like anything. Suddenly the car appeared and they were so happy. We don't have to go by foot. You cannot appreciate what you don't have to go by foot. You can just feel stuff if you can. And we were so happy that the car was there. And we were laughing like anything. You hide the car, okay. We got our message over there. It was so funny. We were laughing like animals when we were happy putting the and then driving slowly, you know. But the point is he says all the time with us and looking how we are thinking what we really are doing, he's all the time watching us. He's here in the heart and in every atom. It's amazing, he just hide it. We were looking at the same place, there was no car. I was looking, she was looking. And then afterwards, when we get to the point, the car appears. That was the realistic potency of Krishna. He is joking. He joke. And then I realized this thing. Oh my God, we should never be frustrated with anything. We should accept thankfully. And everything that is there, that is here, is all Krishna's mercy, and we should be happy with all arrangements, whatever it looks like. And we should never expect anything, and we should always like be respectful, like Krishna Chaitanya said. Offer respect, and don't expect anything, respect for yourself. Happy whatever is around you. Be happy that you are alive, that you have this body, that you can serve whatever is going on. You do your best, whatever comes. Thank you, Krishna, thank you, Krishna. That's actually humbleness, to extend the church of quality. We cannot control anything. And if we try, and it's not going our way, we are frustrated. Don't be. Krishna is taking care. And we are afraid, don't be afraid. Krishna is taking care. And it says, when we are afraid, it's also not a sign of love. Because if we are afraid of something, that means we don't trust that Krishna will take care. We don't have this faith. And then it says, there can be a little worry, which is okay. This is a sign of love, that you worry for someone you love. But no, not fear, because fear is not a sign. Not trusting that God is taking care of. Why should I be afraid? Fearless, Prabhupada. We were laughing like that yesterday, and it was joyful like, at the end. And it can be always joyful if we have such a trust. And if it's not going to be planned, God, Krishna has some other plan. Krishna showed you what you want, actually, and then he will show. Very simple. And then you can be always joyful and happy. Because Krishna and Prabhupada says, devotee means joyful, happy. Who is morose? He's not a devotee. He's doing something wrong. He has some expectations. He's controlled. He's enjoyed. And if he's not happy, then things are not as he likes. And he prohibits satisfaction. But Krishna is satisfied with the things how they are. And he is using all the living entities and he's coming in all atoms to teach us the lessons. And everyone is benefited because he is doing by one act, millions of people have benefited. So why should only we benefit? He is making for everyone's benefit, for everyone's good. So then things are just as they have to be. And we should somehow accept this point. And then we will be joyful and happy always. No need for frustration. But because of our habit to always plan and control and expect that it's like we like, this is just our mind. We should somehow listening to our mind is not controlled.
Thank you. That was a wonderful point. I have things to say also on that, but I see Ananga Macharya is making big signs also.
No,
it's good.
Must be some kind of community. No one is falling down
and giving him obeisances without telling if he's delivered something.
Mm. And I mean, when you see that you are not humble, when you see those bad things inside, obviously we should not meditate on them, because it's negative, it's something we want to get rid, and if we just put our mind into it, it just stay with us. But it's actually a chance to take shelter, to turn it in the positive way by taking shelter. Oh, I'm so fallen, but you are my only hope. But yeah, definitely we should focus on giving pleasure to Krishna. But at the same time, this introspection on ourselves, that helps us to take shelter. If we don't have this introspection and we just think all the time everything is fine, everything is all right with me, we might not see where the place we need to take shelter. We might not take shelter at all into Krishna and just think everything is going all right. And Krishna actually has this function, that is also making his devotee humble. Those who are not humble, Krishna is making them humble, like with this story in the car. Like, yeah, everything is okay, nobody wants this car. And then Krishna make an arrangement that you understand, oh, okay, Krishna, this is your car, we should be grateful. And Krishna still also, I don't know, yesterday I woke up the deities, and they have the beds, and they have cushion. And then I was so tired, I just went to sleep after the puja. And then Aditi came and said, where are the two cushions are missing? And, you know, they had to unfold all the beds to change, so they would have seen if the cushion would have been misplaced. They have looked the whole altar room, everywhere, those cushions are just not there anymore. So I think Krishna is sometimes playing tricks. We will not know where to look for those cushions. The old place where it could be, that's gone. And also what you said was very nice, that very often we cannot understand really how everything is under the control of Krishna, everything is arranged by Krishna, but very often it's out of our reasoning ability, propensity to think how Krishna could do such a thing or such a thing. And we have the example here when actually Krishna is organizing that all the Vrishni and Bhoja are killing each other. You feel that cannot be God organizing that, it cannot be. But actually that's mentioned, it's internal. Yeah. But thank you so much for this wonderful point of learning to see more that everything is under Krishna's control, and just learning to appreciate whatever comes, the way it comes, and to give up these fruitive activities and this controlling mood. And yeah, Ananga. I don't know who was, but one of our sannyasi was saying that actually everyone has something he can offer to Krishna that another don't have. That means all the souls, they have actually something very special to offer to Krishna. Therefore, Krishna wants all the souls to be connected with him again and serve him. I found that very, very beautiful. Yeah. You wanted to add something more, Mani Manjari?
I just remembered that in Bhagavad Gita, Sanatana Goswami says that humbleness actually means prema. That means, if you really have love, pure love, without selfish motive, then you are humble. Or if you are humble, you have prema. It's not different. He said this is the same thing, he says. Because if you have love, you will also, if you have pure love, not selfish love, then you will love, if you love Krishna, that means, you will love all these parts, because they are not different from Krishna, they are three souls. And you will love people and things, and Krishna is in everywhere, Atman Krishna is in every soul. And then, of course, when you love someone purely, you would like to serve him, to make him happy. And then you will like to make happy every living entity, and you will be careful with everything because it's Krishna's body. This material world is also Krishna's expansion. Everything is actually Krishna. And then you will completely forget of yourself, you know. It means you will know this is Krishna. This is Krishna's, this Krishna's like what Krishna's temple, Krishna's devotees, Krishna's loving persons, Krishna's, and you will deal with everyone so carefully and lovingly, and you will be and then, this is actually, he says, when you have this love, then you are humble. And if you are humble, you have this love. This is the same thing.
It goes together, yeah.
Yeah. And then, that means you will not get prema until you become more humble. Because this is the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
He said this is the same thing. It's interesting. And he says, humbleness is prema, and simplicity is vaishnava.
Simplicity?
Simplicity means vaishnava.
Uh-huh.
The Vaishnava means simplicity, so we can meditate.
Mm.
What does it mean? I was thinking a lot of this.
Mm.
For me, it was like to become childlike.
And we can see that with our Fakir Mohan Prabhu when he was here. You can see it's just such a humble soul. Who could not love such a person? It's just attract the hearts and attract the hearts of Krishna. Krishna too is his heart melting by those who are humble. And we see Rupa and Sanatan came to Mahaprabhu, the way they expressed themselves to Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu says, "Stop that. You are breaking my heart with your humility." So it's something very, very beautiful that is very attractive to Krishna and to everyone.
Yeah. He said, "Prabhupada, why everyone loves you?" He said, "Because I love everyone." It's always exchange, you know. Mm. Because if you love everyone, it's Krishna. Everyone loves you also. Because when pure love is there, it's always exchange.
Mm.
You cannot, as you said, humble person, everyone loves, because he loves you also. He's so pure, he wants to please you. And you will also exchange with him, you would like to please such a person. And then someone wants to please himself, others, then of course.
Nobody likes them.
Nobody likes them. That's the point.
Mm. Ananga Manjari? I did not come yet across the demon that represent pride, but I mentioned very shortly actually about Indra in the Govardhan Puja, who Indra actually became, due to proud, became very angry, lost his intelligence, and literally tried to kill the Brijbasis and the friend of Krishna. And at the end, Krishna came and said, "Why did you do that? You are my devotee." And he said, "But I became so angry." And Krishna said, "But why? You are a demigod. You are intelligent. Why you just express your anger like this?" And he said, "Because I was proud. Actually, my intelligence was lost." And actually, the whole theme of the lecture was to be how this pride is intoxicating, and we lose our sense of discrimination and become angry and like this.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we can also very easily connect the story of Shankarachuda. That's not directly proud, but Krishna and Balaram were dancing with their gopis in the nature, full moon, beautiful place, and Shankarachuda just arrived there with his big Shyamantaka jewel on the forehead. Actually, the jewel was encrusted into his head, and he came there and he saw Krishna and Balaram dancing with the girls, and he thought, they are meant for me. Why are those two young boys dancing with them? He just took the girls with him and went away. And actually Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said that he could not touch the gopi because he was a demon and the gopis are like pure spiritual energy. So he had actually stick and he was like making them move without touching them, but he was like pressing, you go, and then they just call for Krishna for help, and Krishna came and just killed the demon and free the gopis. But that's actually the mentality of taking what is actually belonging to Krishna by thinking, actually I am the person who deserves all of that. But I somehow I could not prepare much nicer, and also I hope I can soon start to study again my seminar on the demons and get more information about that. But I'm a little bit struggling to to keep all my small things around at the moment. But yeah, that's all I can say on that. I think envy. I think it's more connected to envy. And Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj said something very interesting. He said also that Kaliya was poisoning the river Yamuna. And in the beginning, the boys came to drink and the cows, and they all died, and Krishna restored their life. But Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj said that this also means poisoning others. And this is very much poisoning others by criticizing others, by saying bad things to others. You go and da 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 da. Then you are like Kaliya. You are also poisoning other people who are around you. And basically, it's rooted into envy. Yeah. But they are all actually quite interrelated. Envy, proud, anger. Yeah. They are, and they are all actually coming from the root of false ego, and this root of ankar, this root of we want to be in the center, and then all those stuff grow on this. And actually, they are all intoxicating. Anger, lust, they are all giving some type of intoxication that make us lose our intelligence. Let's think of Krishna. That's our only hope. Yeah, it's very good and important to focus on the positive way and to take shelter whenever we can observe those bad stuff manifesting, because they are there. They are still there, and time to time they come up. And it's good also to have the honesty to acknowledge them. To accept they are in me, to not just try to hide them and say no, to accept they are there, and then with full heart go to Krishna and ask for help and take full shelter for protection. I'm happy. I 8:25 I was finished with my notes. I thought, what do we do now? But by your good association, it visible, The first thought I had is actually everything starts on the subtle level. also lust, also anger, and those things, they come in a certain level, and then they when they become manifest, when it comes out through the mouth of our activity, then it becomes a gross thing. Yeah, but they are all starting in a certain level, and for to be able to observe that before we speak bad or before we act bad or before it comes to the gross level. Often actually we get signs. It starts, we get some hints. Oh, here the anatta is starting to show his hoods. The snake is rising his hood before the snake bites. Often we get some hints. Okay, now I'm a little spiritually weak, or we feel some thoughts are coming and things like this. So I think it's very important for us to learn when it's still in the subtle, when we get those small hints, to immediately take shelter at that time before it's actually increasing, or before the snake is biting, or before the anatta manifests in the gross way, which is detrimental for everyone. But I don't know if I got your question, if it makes sense what I'm...
For me, the most the strongest thing in this verse of the prophet is that this, he says, it says, and with the weapon of the sharp words they touch each other's hearts,
the core of the heart.
And this weapon of the harsh words, it's much stronger than any weapon from outside.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you sometimes say to someone something which hurts him really in the heart, it's so painful, it's more stronger. And this is what we are doing to each other, we should be careful not to do it to each other. Because sharp work can kill someone. It actually says that there are different ways of killing the body and this and that, but sharp work can kill someone for a long time.
Mm.
And make you also a friend or enemy or whatever. Also, with nice kind words, you can. This is like a weapon, a contra weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Always, every weapon has a contra weapon. So I think we should really be careful when we are devoted not to use these sharp words to somehow hurt people. What to say of devotees? These sharp words should actually be avoided completely between devotees. Because there are nice ways how to say and show things, maybe by our own example, maybe by nicely speaking friendly or speaking through other people with someone. But if you really use sharp words directly to the person, this can really make him, kill him. And he needs quite a lot to recover again to come to the same point. This is actually very, which devotees are maybe not so much aware of, because we are, we are coming from a tier where we came from Lechayana families and surrounding, and this is harsh words every day they use. What a harsh words, I mean, you're using really hitting each other every day is bad words. And this is what is the difference between devotees and the karmas. I think the greatest difference, which is immediately difficult, because when you come to some materialistic association, you can immediately and it should really not be used by anyone.
And sometimes, I mean, not that I'm preaching about Brahmacharya Ashram, but sometimes in couples, when they are not happy together, sometimes you are invited and you just feel they are just all the time like piercing each other's, and we see also how painful it is that sometimes people for their whole life they are not able to forgive something that had been said to them because it was just so painful. Sometimes people their whole life they cannot go over such a type of pain. But at the same time, it comes very much to what we were saying, how it is that the harsh words came because there was this intoxication. There was this loss of control about themselves. And while because of this anattas inside, this lust, this envy, and this, and again we come to this point that when it starts to manifest, if we can take shelter early enough, then we can avoid. But if we don't take shelter, then it has to manifest somehow. And because we will never dare to punch the next Brahmacharini, so then it's expressed into words. But it's real for devotees. That's really a red card, you know. Like in football, when they give a too hard punch, it's red card, means you are out. You don't play this match anymore. So for devotees, I think we should also have a red card when those harsh words come.
After you do it many times, then Krishna gives you red card.
Yeah.
That's why many devotees are thinking, I'm going with this good devotee. Okay, actually, Krishna is moving them a little bit from the devotees' situation because they are actually degrading themselves by offenses, and then it's not because he's angry, but because he wants for their benefit, it's better that they out of the situation of the world, because they would just degrade themselves, not advance, then it's better to learn the lectures there and then come again after who knows how much time, maybe soon, maybe. Depends how fast they're done.
I think we should stop here. But tomorrow Mani Manjari is giving the lecture, so we can have some more nectar. But at the same time, it's nice to have this preparation and to have the format of reading and preparing. It's also very good for the one who gives the lecture to go more into a thoughtful state and to gather. I think it's very, very, very nice to do that, and then to open it for discussion and get. I think it's very, very good that we have also the discussion. I think both are actually very necessary, and we are actually starving. We need spiritual nourishment. We need spiritual inputs, and this is really a nourishing. And I'm very happy we can have this chance in Golokadam. So let's continue tomorrow. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.